This is your time and mine to be together. Let's say it together. Promise yourself to be so strong that nothing can disturb your peace of mind. Promise yourself to talk about health and happiness and prosperity. To who? Every person you meet. Promise yourself to make all your friends and family feel like there's something in them, because there is. Promise yourself to look at the sunny side of everything, and in your own life, make your own optimism come true, and it will. Promise yourself to think only of the best, to work only for the best, and to expect in your life only the best. You know, put a pause right there. People that mock optimists, they'll hear something like that. Oh, sure, think of the best, work only for the best. And they leave out that part about expectation, because you get in life about what you expect most of the time. This isn't to say you'll never have challenges, you'll never have obstacles to overcome. This suggests that if you expect the best, more often than not, that's what you'll get. Promise yourself to be just as enthusiastic about my success as you are about your own, and forget about mistakes you've made in your past. You, my friend, are pressing on to your greater achievements that are right here in your near future. Promise yourself to wear a cheerful countenance at all times and give so much time to your own self-improvement that you don't have any time to criticize me. Promise yourself to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and in your life too happy to permit the presence of trouble, because you, and I do mean you, are an optimist. Welcome aboard. My heart's beating inside my chest. My lungs breathing the oxygen. But I need something more than this to keep me alive. I'm so sick of wasting time, living life like I'm half alive. I'm done believing these evil lies that tell me hopes and dreams have died. I can feel it in the air tonight, way up above these city lights. There's a higher calling on all our lives. Let's live to love, not just survive. Wake up, what are we waiting for? That's right. It is showtime. It's live from Homer, Alaska. I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed? Twilight has gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. O'er the ramparts we watched were so gay. What an incredible way to start a world-class radio program. First of all, we start off with your optimist creed. That filters out the diehard pessimists right away. Then we move into Chris Stapleton's anthem from last year's Super Bowl. Are you kidding me? Oh, that filters out the commie pinkos. And what's left? That's right. You and me. And I'm so proud to be here with you. I'm Chris Story, along with Mr. David Webb. He's engineering the broadcast all the way back up at the mothership of KPEN and KGTL, high atop Diamond Ridge. You know that I'm sitting here in the palatial, beautiful studios of Story Productions inside Story Real Estate at the corner of West Hill in the Sterling Highway. Now, how is it possible to get this beautiful, award-winning, stupendous project, broadcast, all the way up to Diamond Ridge from here? How is that possible? You're asking yourself right now, how is it possible? I'll answer. Horizon Wireless. You knew I was going to say that. 226-3130. Horizon Wireless. Leif and Cassandra have been building this company for years. I remember many years ago, probably 15, maybe 16 years ago, attending a workshop at the Homer Chamber of Commerce, and Cassandra was there. And it was a workshop on growing your business. It was a workshop. They were putting on some sort of a symposium, and we sat next to each other. And they were just a small little fledgling operation. And now, today, spanning the peninsula, up and down the peninsula, Horizon Wireless, 226-3130. Incredible backroom service and support. It's the best. It's the only reason we talk about them here. You know that. We only accept sponsors here on Top of the World that follow through and do what they say they're going to do. Horizon Wireless, 226-3130. I love to give away the book by Og Mandino called The Greatest Salesman in the World. You don't have to be a salesman to appreciate it. You don't have to be somebody that is in the art of selling. It's an art and a science to appreciate this. He is, Og Mandino, I think, was a genius. He said, and I believe him, I believe it's true, that he believes that God still puts the word on somebody, on human beings, for them to transcribe it. He didn't say it of himself. He said it of other people. I would put it on Og Mandino, that he was touched. And what he wrote was eloquent, spiritual, but not religious. It was, everybody can appreciate and really benefit from that book, The Greatest Salesman in the World. I love it. And I want to just read from that book right now. These are the 10 scrolls that this young man in Damascus is handed. And he is to follow these scrolls if he wants to have success in life. Now, that's every measurement you could possibly imagine, from happiness, contentment, fulfillment, actual wealth. And these 10 scrolls go like this. Today I begin a new life. I will greet this day with love in my heart. I will persist until I win. I am nature's greatest miracle. I will live this day as if it were my last. Today I will be master of my emotions. Today I will laugh at the world. Today, I will multiply my value 100-fold. Today, I will act, and I will act now. And I will pray for guidance.
And all I remember is your back. Walking towards the airport, leaving the soul.
You are listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. You have the right to be heard. Maybe I'd go beyond that and say you have a duty to be heard. Now is a great time to let your senators, and your congressman know what you think about world affairs, about what's happening to your state and to your country, to the state of your country. Applying critical thinking, of course, not suggesting any of us go off half-cocked. Maybe jot down a few bullet points before you make the phone call, just to guide you through the conversation with a staffer. You're not going to reach the senator or the congresswoman. Call their offices. Send emails. Speak out. You may not be a combat veteran. You may not be a retired lieutenant colonel. You may not be, or you might be both, come to think of it. But it doesn't matter. Either way, you have a voice. And if you don't use it, it's most assured you'll lose it. That's what America's about. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio. When we come back, I'm going to praise Governor Dunleavy, which I haven't done in a while. Plus, we're going to be talking about habits and goals and much more here on Top of the World.
'Cause she loves me, piece by piece. She restored my faith that a woman can be kind and the mother could stay.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Story. You can find this web, I need a little more Captain's Coffee. Hold on. Oh, that should do it. I think, in fact, that did do it. You can find this episode and many more, in fact, hundreds more, at our website, ilovehomeralaska.com. Also, by the way, Born to Live, we opened with Born to Live, that song by About a Mile. Let me just tell you something. The book, Born to Live, that I wrote, I love to promote that book with all selflessness because I felt like it was a story that just, it occurred to me, it happened in my mind a little bit reflexively, I'll tell you, based on some events in my life and how I overcame them. But the story itself that I was able to tell that message through, I don't even claim ownership of. I don't know where it came from. It was as close to automatic writing as I've ever experienced. Born to Live is also available at our website, ilovehomeralaska.com/books. Get that book. It's paperback or ebook. It's there for you. Just get it. I absolutely love it. And I say that with all humility. Do you know why your hands prune in the water? Why do your hands get all pruny? Do you know? I did not know. I poured through studies on this for you, so you don't even have to wonder anymore. The mystery is about to be taken away. Here's exactly why your hands turn into prunes and get all wrinkly in water. So as to give you a better grip. It's true. Get a grip. The ridges and wrinkles give you more gripping power when wet. See, God knew exactly what he was doing. Yes, you were born on purpose and with a purpose, and your hands wrinkle in the wet on purpose. Here's some Soprano-style justice. You can pay $50. It's available only through Valentine's Day. $50 in New Jersey at an animal shelter. You'll pay this $50 for the naming rights of a feral cat. They're suggesting you name it after an ex. Ex-spouse, ex-boyfriend, girlfriend. By the way, this cat that you're about to name is about to be neutered or spayed. See, it's all for the cause.
I told you that doctor was a friend of mine. I deliberately used that word.
Yes, he did. That's Soprano style justice right there. Must Read Alaska reports the Rasmussen poll, 69% of Americans, likely U.S. voters, 69% support Texas's ability to create a border prevention, preventing illegal immigrants from crossing. 69% are in support. What about you? Governor Dunleavy signed a letter sent to President in support of Texas and their right to protect their border. What about you? I mean, you're a diverse group of critical thinking people, so I'm curious and I ask your opinion now. Please text in at 907-299-7653. And look, you and I may not agree on everything, and that's okay with me, but I am curious as to your opinion on this. Do you think Texas has the right to protect their own border? What do you think? 299-7653. I guess another way to ask it would be, should the federal government stop Texas? Should the federal government stop Texas from protecting their own border? Share your thoughts at 907 1-800-299-7653. When you do, you'll be entering to win a coffee card at Captain's Coffee. Captain'sCoffee.com, the original coffee roaster here on the Southern Peninsula, and may I say Alaska's best coffee roaster. Captain's Coffee, Captain'sCoffee.com. Submit your opinion now. While we're on the topic of Governor Dunleavy, Must Read also is reporting Governor Dunleavy wants to let more state land go into private ownership so Alaskans can benefit. That's great. Wonderful. State land going into private ownership benefits Alaskans two ways. Number one, you get to own a piece of Alaska. Number two, it creates a tax base. So you get to own private property. More of our own state should and ought to go into private hands. So if you agree with that, you can support Senate Bill 198 and Senate Bill 199. These both are going to be hotly contested, no doubt. But the reality is, the more private land, the bigger the tax base. That's it.
And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. Free men you are.
What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
By the way, I've quoted now from two different Must Read Alaska stories. And also, I have to tell you this. I just subscribed to their newsletter. This is not an advertisement. They're not... I'm not a paid spokesperson for MustReadAlaska.com. I'm telling you, it's good information, well written. Suzanne Downing and crew have done a fantastic job for a long time getting Alaskan news front and center, also interstitching some national issues that you want to know about. It's a great warehouse of information. And I just subscribed, so I'm now I put in my money where my mouth is, because I believe in what they're doing there. The journalistic integrity of Must Read Alaska and MustReadAlaska.com, I think, deserves support. And in fact, their numbers are on the rise. Marcus Aurelius wrote in his journal. Now, it would be good to just remember for just a second. Marcus Aurelius didn't write a book. He wrote a journal for himself. And it was later discovered and put out in print. And there's a book you can pick up called Meditations. And these are just simply ramblings and thoughts of this Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius. And it's worth reading. He said to himself, "An angry look on the face is wholly against nature. If it be assumed frequently, beauty begins to perish and, in the end, is quenched beyond rekindling." Repeat that for a second. This is amazing. An angry look on the face is wholly against nature. If it is to be assumed frequently, beauty begins to perish, and in the end is quenched beyond rekindling. You must try to realize that this shows the unreasonableness of it. For if we lose the ability to perceive our faults, what good is living? Do you ever do something that's difficult? You ever do something you don't really want to do? Maybe it's something that you know is good for you, but you just have to push yourself. Maybe that's a workout. Maybe it's eating less. Harajibu, as the Japanese say. That means pushing your plate away when you're two-thirds full. Harajibu. Difficult things that we put ourselves through can do you some good. Here's Andrew Huberman to prove the point.
Most people don't know this, but there's a brain structure called the anterior mid-cingulate cortex. But what's interesting about this brain area is there are now a lot of data in humans, not some mouse study, showing that when people do anything that they, and this is the important part, that they don't want to do.
Right.
It's not about adding more work. It's about adding more work that you don't want to do.
Yes.
This brain area gets bigger.
Yep.
Now, here's what's especially interesting about this brain area to me. The anterior mid-cingulate cortex is smaller in obese people. It gets bigger when they die. It's larger in athletes. It's especially large, or grows larger, in people that see themselves as challenged and overcome some challenge. And in people that live a very long time, this area keeps its size. Scientists are starting to think of the anterior mid-cingulate cortex not just as one of the seats of willpower, perhaps actually the seat of the will to live.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Doing hard things is good for us. It's interesting, that conversation actually is taking place between Andrew Huberman and David Goggins. David Goggins, you may know as the ex-Navy SEAL, extremist runner, 100 miles is nothing for this guy to run. And they're having this conversation, and David Goggins is like, you know, there's certain things he just said, I just can't stand doing this, just different, but I got to do it anyway. And that's when Huberman launched into that study that says, hey, hold on a second. For the people that going to the gym and to physically work out is just a joy and a thrill and everything, they're actually not as better off as people. Like, put yourself in the way of doing something difficult, and you will reap the benefits. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Our question is out there for you to respond to. Is Governor Abbott doing the right thing in Texas? Do you support what he's doing relative to protecting their own border, the Texan border? Is he doing the right thing? And I guess asked another way is just simply, does the federal government have the right to stop Texas from protecting themselves against the invasion? Send in your messages at 907-299-7653. We got a response here I'll share with you. I think Governor Abbott of Texas is doing the right thing in securing the southern border. I think New Mexico, Arizona, and California should be doing the same thing. What do you think? 907-299-7653. How are your habits? You know, creating a goal is fantastic. We've talked about goal setting here for 16 years. I enjoy goal setting. I like to put some things down on paper, hold myself accountable. I like to share them publicly sometimes even. Obviously, some things are private, some things are more public. But I find that setting a goal is wonderful, but it can also be a little bit like packing for a trip to Hawaii, but not buying the ticket. You're not going anywhere. So James Clear has emerged as an authority on habits, and he's written a book called The Atomic Habits. Maybe you read it. It came out a few years ago. Massive hit, and like really well received both by academics and regular people like me. In the creation, in the study of habits and how to create habits, how to set habits, how to keep them, and the good that they do for you. And I want to break down just a few of them, like his 1% rule. He emphasizes the power of marginal gains, suggesting that small improvements, as little as 1% each day, can lead to significant long-term changes. This principle highlights the compounding effect of consistent positive habits over time. So I've got this friend, John Calhoun. He was a founding member here at Story Real Estate back in 2007. He's now retired, but he has this way of accomplishing things that is, it's a little bit unique and singular to John, but at the same time, it's just what James Clear is talking about here, 1%. So I'll say to Tiffany, sometimes I'll have a big project, and the way my mind naturally detents to, or the default that my mind goes to, is to see the entire picture at once, to see everything and to have just all the parts and pieces come at me, flying at me, and it's just, I see the whole thing at once and it becomes overwhelming. And what I have to do is force myself to follow what I call a Calhoun. Calhouning the project means I'm going to break it down into small, very small, manageable parts. For example, if Tiffany and I are going to paint one of our properties, I could look at the whole thing and instantly my mind has run through caulking, scraping, prepping, taping, paint drying, not having enough, the brush dried out. All the stuff just comes at me at once, and the time commitment. And what John would do, the Calhoun approach says, paint one wall today. Then tomorrow, paint the next wall, and then the next wall, and the next wall. And it's just a matter of 1% a day. Now, habits are the same thing. As you accumulate habits. So we'll go into this a little bit greater detail. Plus, coming up, I'll be sharing with you a report out of Washington, a woman who bought some lottery tickets. I want to talk about lottery tickets for just a little bit, and lots of other great stuff coming up here on Top of the World. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here. We go to the phone. We're asking you what you think. This is probably as succinct of an answer as I'm going to get today. I still want yours as well. Enter to win a coffee cart at Captain's Coffee. Just answer this question. Do you think Governor Abbott, do you think Texas, the state of Texas, the citizens of Texas, have the right to defend their border, to protect their border? Are they doing the, you know, are they doing the right thing? Do they have the right to do that in Texas? Share your answer at 907-299-7653. 7653. And I think, again, this is probably the most succinct answer I'm going to get today. Duh, yes. And for the government, no. No, the federal government does not have the right to stop Texas. This from Tim White. What do you think of 299-7653? So we're talking a little bit about habits, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. You know, habits are important. The habits, you know, your habits are going to make or break you. They're going to become, you're going to become the sum total of your habits. So it's the five people you spend the most time with. You become the average of them. You're going to become the average of the, you know, how much, what happens in the next 5 years in your life is really going to be dependent upon what do you read, who do you hang out with, and who do you think you are, and the habits you create. So talking about James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, it's a good book. I'm not trying to circumvent your purchase of it by sharing these things with you. In fact, if it entices you to get the book, then I've done my job. He talks about clear, the habit loop. So cue, craving, response, reward. I'll give you how this works in my life. Since I was a kid, if I would watch some late night television, for example, I used to watch MASH at 10:30 on CBS. MASH would come on. I would always kind of sneak into the pantry and get a snack and eat. So this habit, this cue, craving, response, and then the reward, that has been a loop in my life, all my life. For example, right now, I'll be getting the coffee ready for the next day, and I'll be grinding the beans from CaptainsCoffee.com and prepping the water in the coffee pot. I'm really in a great place. And if I have a show on in the background, it is a trigger for me. It is a cue. And my brain, all these years later, 51 years into my life, probably 40 years after this, maybe even 42 years after this habit started, it's a cue. And I crave a snack. I crave something to eat. And we're talking about 10 o'clock at night here. Maybe 9:30 now, but maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30, something like that. And it's something that I have to scratch that record and not play that record again, because that cue is so strong, triggers a craving, triggers the response, which is then, of course, if I indulge, and then the reward is, that satiated feeling. But truly, it's a terrible habit because it leads to where I don't want to go, which puts pounds back on, then I got to go work even harder on the treadmill. Habit stacking, I think, is interesting from Atomic Habits. He says that the concept of habit stacking involves integrating new habits into established routines. By linking a new behavior to an existing habit, you can leverage your current habit as a cue, making it easier to adopt and sustain new practices. And then one more little thought from his book, Atomic Habits, environment. Your environment makes a difference. So the people you hang around, the people you associate with, are going to have massive influence on your life and who and how you grow through life. Memories, keepsakes, and important pieces of your life deserve to be secure, safe, and comfortable. Downtown Mini Storage to the rescue. Hi, I'm Chris Story. Downtown Mini Storage has been keeping my valuables safe, secure, and dry for over 20 years. In fact, I like Downtown Mini Storage so much, I bought the company. Call Downtown Mini Storage at 299-7653 in downtown Homer, Alaska. Move in today and get your first month absolutely free at Downtown Mini Storage on Lake Street, across from SBS and Homer. Where are you going to keep your stuff? Call Downtown Mini Storage today at 299-7653. Coming up on an episode of Backyard Millionaire later in February, I'll be airing a conversation with Sharon Lecter, co-author of the Rich Dad, Poor Dad series. In her own right, just a fantastic businesswoman, thinker, philosopher. She's an inspiration. And she's got a few points. I just got this email. I subscribed to her newsletter, and this email came out today. After considering the direction or new direction you want to take, be sure to. And I just thought, this is worth sharing. I printed this out. I wanted to share it with you. Sharon Lecter says, be sure to, again, after considering a direction or new direction you want to take, so in other words, something you want to do, become, have, place you want to go, she says, set specific goals for your professional growth. Break down the bigger picture into small steps. I love that. This goes back to the Calhoun model. That's a great habit. Break it down into small pieces. Ask for help from other people. That is so difficult sometimes, isn't it? asking for help, because what does it do? It shows you don't know. I embrace it. Love it. Ask for help. Guess what? People ahead of you on the ladder, people that have already gone before you, they've left breadcrumbs. You can find them in books and biographies and podcasts and radio programs like this. However, if you will just ask, you'll get further faster. I guarantee it. Okay. She also says, define measures for your progress and improvement. How are you? If you can't measure it, then how do you know? And this is also relevant to happiness. Reading The Psychology of Money right now, it's fascinating because he tells a story in here about Kurt Vonnegut attended a party put on by a billionaire. And another author was there. And Kurt Vonnegut says to this other author, by the way, this billionaire, this is a hedge fund manager. By the way, this guy, he made more money yesterday than your book, Catch 22, as Joseph Heller, he was speaking to. He said he made more money yesterday than your book has made since it was published 25 years ago. And Joseph Heller looked at Kurt Vonnegut and said, that's okay. I've got something that he'll never have. And Kurt Vonnegut looked at him and said, well, what? And Joseph Heller said, enough.
Son, we're on the brink of the next world war, and I don't think nobody's praying no more, and I ain't saying I know it for sure. I'm just down on my knees begging the Lord and take me home. I wanna go home. I don't know which road. Been so long, I just know I didn't used to wake up feeling this way, cussing myself every damn day. There's always some kind of bill to pay, people just doing what the rich man say. I wanna go home.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. That's Oliver Anthony. You don't see, maybe you do see a lot of him anymore. I'm not seeing what he's up to these days. He's probably selling out arenas now. Maybe he's dating Taylor Swift. I don't know. I do not know, but I do love his voice and his tone. Ed Howe said, if you could see all of a man's weak points, you'd think he had the measles. Jack Canfield wrote a lot of books. In fact, he wrote a billion-dollar brand called Chicken Soup for the Soul, and he wrote a book on his own called The Success Principles. It's worth picking up, and he says, in it, one of the success principles that he's learned from countless of people he's interviewed is to be teachable. That's a good question. Are you teachable? Tiffany is a certified life coach, and she talks about in her practice that you have to be coachable. Like, that's one of the screening techniques before she'll take on a client, or any coach really will take on a client, is are they coachable? Not everybody is. Not everybody is teachable. I think I'll say it a different way. I think everybody is teachable, but that's a practice. You have to make yourself available to the learning. And how do you do that? So are you teachable, or do you know everything? Are you teachable, or do you pretend to know more than you do? Do you nod? Do you ever find yourself nodding in agreement with somebody who's saying something because you don't want to appear to not understand? You'd rather pretend to understand and then look it up later. Maybe grab your phone and kind of while they're talking, what does that word mean? Oligopoly. What does oligopoly mean? I don't know. How about this? Be bold and say, I don't know. Oh, I don't know what that word means. Tell me more about it. One of the smartest people I've ever been around in the real estate business as a practice did that. She would stop me and say, hold on a second. What do you mean by that? And I just thought that it's so fascinating, so instructive. She ran a brokerage of 400 agents in St. Louis. 400 real estate agents reported to her. And she would stop me and say, hold on a second. What do you mean by that? Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. What is that? And it's curiosity. It's willingness to say, I don't know, will make you teachable. Now, being teachable doesn't mean you're a sucker that was born last minute. It just means that you are open to learning. You're willing to admit you don't know something. You don't understand something. You're curious. You want to learn. I mean, these days, you're expected to have an instant opinion. I mean, that's the nature of social media. You better have an instant opinion. And by golly, not just have an opinion, you got to share it. there's like an unwritten contract in society that you have to share that opinion instantly. You go to some of these Facebook pages and places, and it's not just Facebook. Social media in general invites this instantaneous all-knowing, and your opinion is unwavering, and you'll see people double down. And a lot of times it's doubling down on stupid. So be teachable, be open. Joan Didion said, I don't know what I think about something until I write about something. Write it out. That's why when I recommended you reach out to your senators and your congresswoman, and even if it's about the prevention of World War III and bombing Iran and holding back on funding to Ukraine and holding back on federalizing the National Guard against Texas, think it through, write down a few bullet points, and again, be teachable. You don't have to be wavering in your principles, and I think that's a big difference. Being teachable doesn't mean you're going to waver on your principles. You have principles. You have ideals and principles. But I'm talking about other things, and especially, again, in the social media age where you have to know everything instantly. No, you don't. Be teachable, be coachable, and be willing to admit when you don't understand something. That's how we'll grow.
Poor people usually spend their money and invest what's left. That's the philosophy of the poor. Now, here's the philosophy of the rich. Rich people invest their money and spend what's left. And here's the startling answer. It really doesn't matter what the amount is. What's most important is not the amount. What's really important is the philosophy. So I would ask you to adopt this philosophy of spending after you have invested. Invest first, then spend.
Wise words from one of my mentors, Jim Rohn. Never met him. I still consider him a mentor. I read his books. I listen to his speeches online. He's a big influence in my life. I appreciate his wise words of wisdom. Speaking of words, when we return here to the Top of the World, we'll have your word presented by Kraken Cafe out East End Road by the Gear Shed. Also, we're going to be talking about lottery winners and learned optimism here on Top of the World. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here. You can find me online anywhere podcasts are available. Just type in my name, Chris Story, or go to our website, ilovehomeralaska.com. It's time now for your word presented by the Kraken Cafe. You can call ahead at 756-8151, 756-8151, where? 3585 East End Road. Well, that's a fancy way of saying next to the Gear Shed. That's right, Kraken Cafe. I warn you right now, if you follow Kraken Cafe on Instagram or Facebook, Kraken Cafe, spelled, by the way, K-R-A-K-E-N, Kraken Cafe, release the Kraken. If you follow them on their social media, you're going to want to follow them out East End Road for coffee, for pastries, for cinnamon rolls that are so delectable. You're going to want to take a nap. It's amazing food, great people. Cody and friends at Kraken Cafe, 756-8151. The word. I used it already today. And if you're teachable, you've already asked yourself, what does that mean? I assume I shouldn't have said that. Maybe you already knew what this word meant and you educated people around you. Or you're like me. I heard Ralph Nader use this word this morning in an interview. Ralph gave an interview to a podcast I listened to. It's a radio industry podcast. It wouldn't interest you, but it interests me. And Ralph Nader was on, and I almost didn't listen because he was proven wrong so many times on so many different things. Milton Friedman just destroyed his argument on the Corvair when Ralph Nader wrote Unsafe at Any Speed, which was completely debunked. But for Ralph Nader, those that love him say that there would be no seatbelts, there'd be no safety, no automobile standards, and that's just simply not true. Nevertheless, I respect the fact that he's 90 years old and still doing media, including his own podcast. So I'm listening to Ralph Nader talk, and he talks about an oligopoly. That's your word, oligopoly. I had to stop the tape and look it up. Here's what it means, oligopoly. A state of limited competition in which a market is shared by a small number of producers or sellers. Oligopoly. Ralph Nader was using that word, oligopoly, in reference to our two-party system. with two candidates running for president or whatever, the Democratic system that we know, Republican, Democrat, that was what he was referring to as an oligopoly. And I thought, man, what a fancy way of saying two-party system. I'm going to use it in a sentence if I can. Here I go. When you have two parties that are chanting for war in one voice, it makes one long for the days of the oligopoly of the 1980s. This just in, a Washington woman bought four identical tickets for the same lottery drawing. She ended up winning five prizes totaling $50,000. That's right, Everett Washington. She's known only as KL because, the family's going to come out of the woodwork when they find out KL has just won 50 grand. Of course, she'll be paying taxes out of that and so forth, but she used a combination of her mother's birthday and her own birthday to create this winning number, bought four tickets with the same number, somehow won $50,000. In a related story, did you know Americans spent $108 billion on lottery tickets last year? You heard that correctly, $108 billion with a B on lottery tickets last year. You know what your odds of winning are? 1 in 292 million. That's the odds ever stacked against you. 1 in 292 million chances of winning. One third of all lottery ticket buyers. So that could roughly translate into 300 billion spent by those who earn less than $30,000 in a year. And on average, those people are spending $400 a year on lottery tickets. What do you think about that? $108 billion spent last year on lottery tickets. Imagine if those same dollars had been sunk into the S&P 500. Imagine if those same dollars had been sunk into a savings account and working towards in a real estate investment. This is not I'm not preaching against lotteries. I'm just saying, wow. Some people think that I'm a born optimist, and that's not true. If you listen on Top of the World Radio, maybe you've read Backyard Millionaire, or you've read Born to Live, and you think, man, or you've listened to this program for years, or you hear Backyard Millionaire radio program, and you think, man, this guy's just always upbeat. Maybe you listen to me on Michael Dukes on Tuesday mornings at 7:40. He's moved you to a terrible time, 7:40 or something like that. He's like, we don't have near enough time. Anyway, bottom line is, see, that's pessimism right there. Optimism comes somewhat naturally to me. But more than anything, it's been learned. Let's be real. I typically look at the bright side of almost everything. It takes me a minute sometimes. Like I'll have to come around to it a little bit later. But I detent over to the positive side more often than not. But nevertheless, I still have to work myself through challenges, obstacles, overcome things using optimism as a shovel, as a lever. And so Learned Optimism by Martin Seligman is a fantastic book. I couldn't recommend it enough. It's called Learned Optimism. It's a philosophy, if you will, or a branch of psychology that Martin Seligman really has cornered the market on. He really is the father of learned optimism, of an optimistic approach towards psychology in general versus studying sick people. He decided, why don't we study healthy people, healthy minds? What are they doing differently? And he came up with a whole philosophy or a whole psychological study, learned optimism. He says that if you are optimistic, you can have your explanation style, your explanatory style will influence how you see the world. So you get to influence that. I'm born somewhat positive. Like I will somewhat look for the silver lining in the cloud almost invariably, but I still have to learn how to apply it. And if you are one who can't see anything but the negative, or you just, you can look at an, maybe take real estate, for example. I know some people that have wanted to invest in real estate, but all they could see was the potential downside. And then again, hello, 2008 correction, you could see some people on the other side of it could see, never see any downside, only up, and they over-leverage themselves. So it's somewhere in between. It's something of a, now I don't want to say middle road, but it's a moderation of risk reward and being able to see the upside of something. How you explain or have an, your explanatory style towards almost any issue is going to make a difference in your own life. If you're interested, Martin Seligman's all over YouTube. You can hear speeches by him and presentations. Another thing that he really promotes inside of his learned optimism philosophy is the perception of control can make a big difference in your life. So if you have employees or children or ladies, if you've got a husband, and you allow us the perception of control or some decision making, we're going to be more optimistic. We're going to have a better outcome. And probably all of us are going to have a better life. Been talking a little bit about Og Mandino today, and I think I've got time to do this. I think I have time. Let me just share this one last thing. This is from his book, his wonderful book called The Greatest Miracle in the World. And this is called The God Memorandum. And he writes, from God to you, I gave you the power to think. I gave you the power to love. I gave you the power to will, laugh, and imagine. I gave you the power to create, to plan, and to speak. And I gave you the power to pray. We come to the fourth law of success and happiness. I gave you one more power, a power that is so great, not even my angels possess it. Og Mandino writes in the God Memorandum, I gave you the power of choice. Choose to love rather than hate. Choose to laugh rather than cry. Choose to create rather than to destroy. Choose to preserve rather than to persevere rather than to quit. Choose to praise rather than gossip. Choose to heal rather than to wound. Choose to give rather than to steal. Choose to act rather than to procrastinate. Choose to grow rather than rot. Choose to pray rather than curse. Choose to live rather than die. Have you ever heard of the morning, 5-minute morning miracle? Is it 5-minute morning or the miracle morning? Maybe they're both. There's a lot of morning stuff out there. Have you noticed that? Books, podcasts, kind of whole ethos that have cropped up around the morning. Why? Because the morning is important. How you start your day is going to determine how your day goes. I have my own morning routine. In fact, there's a great book. I can't remember the name of it. It's something called Morning Routines. I think of the great morning routines of the, anyway, it's a wonderful little book, and it's about, like, historically speaking, Picasso, people like that. How do they start their morning? How do they start their day? Well, how do you start your day? It's mystical, it's a bit magical, but here's a few suggestions that come from the collected works out there. The mystical they, suggest you rise and shine and skip the snooze button. Do not hit that snooze button. Journal first thing in the morning. And often people will recommend journaling your dreams. If you can recall your dream, journal it. It's coming directly from your subconscious. Meditate, play a brain game. That all sounds good. Here's my morning routine. I start with a prayer of gratitude. Thank you. Thank you for this day. Then I get in some movement. Nothing huge because I don't want to wake the household. If I start doing jumping jacks, everybody's going to be up. Just very small, strenuous movement, though, reading, and of course, all of this is eventually fueled by coffee. That's my morning. And I think it doesn't matter if you follow anybody's or nobody's, just make sure it's yours. Make sure that it's something you've chosen to do and take control of your morning. It will guide the rest of your day. If you feel run by your morning, always on the run, always late, behind, get up earlier, take a little bit of time. Be prayerful, be thoughtful, be grateful, and be alive. Thank you for participating. Let's go to the phone real quick. Yeah, I don't have time. Okay, Tim and Kristen are both going to Captain's Coffee absolutely free. And 100% of the participants, and I've got like 40 messages here, 100% of you are saying, yes, go Governor Abbott in Texas. You have every right to protect your border. I'm Chris Story for David Webb and myself, reminding you to look forward in life, learn from your past, but never forget that the good life is lived right here in the present. We'll see you next time.